Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. It's Friday, January 6th, 2012. Our first program of 2012, and welcome to the Gold and Silver Financial Review. My name is Bosco Kacharovich, and this program is brought to you by Central Metals, your personal gold and silver bullion dealer. We're located here in the Rose City of Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Our website is centralmetalscorp.com. Our phone number is 519-915-7542. We will be accepting email questions during the program, and you can direct those to mail at centralmetalscorp.com. That's M-A-I-L at centralmetalscorp.com. To our listeners out there, anyone who is listening live, if you would please just send me an email, let me know how the sound is on this program. We're trying something new now, so I'd like to see how it sounds on the internet. We also would like to send out a reminder to all of our Canadian listeners. Our RSP season is on their way. And it's ending the end of February, and we do have gold and silver bullion coins, the Canadian Maple Leaf gold coins and the Canadian Maple Leaf silver coins available for your RRSP. Also, for your tax-free savings account, you can put those coins in that retirement account as well. Just a reminder also to our global listeners, we do have vault storage services available in Canada. For anyone interested in that, please just give us a call, and we can send you details on that. The storage service is fully allocated, segregated in your name, and it's held at a security company in a sealed container. And basically, you can have access to it anytime you want, and the security company is a global company. So if you wanted to pick up your metals in a different country, we can make arrangements for that as well. We're just, as our regular guest on Friday afternoon, we'd like to welcome Mr. Bob Chapman, the world-renowned economist. It's always a pleasure to have Bob on the program. We have gold bouncing back. Today it's we got a spot price of about $16.16 for gold, and we have a spot price for silver at about it's $29 even. So we have gold and silver coming back this week. Doesn't look like we have Mr. Chapman on the line yet, so we're just going to go through some news that we have here. We have Windsor's unemployment rate decreases in December and still becomes the worst in Canada. Even though our unemployment rate is going down, we're still not doing too good as far as Canada's concerned. Looks like our unemployment rate here is 10.5%, according to Statistics Canada. We also have some of the top Canadian economists are bearish in 2012 and 2013. Things don't look good. Too good in the United States or in Canada. It looks like the one of the rating agencies downgraded Canadian financial markets. Actually, it was Barclays Capital downgrades the Canadian financial services sector to neutral from positive in anticipation of slower earnings growth in 2012. So I know nobody likes to hear the bad news, but it is the truth here. And, the purpose of this program is to educate people and to teach you how you can protect yourself from the uncertainty that is going around in the economy, as well as in your city. We have a number of people that have contacted us to get information on the RSPs, putting the gold and silver coins. So basically the way it works is it's just like any other investment. You would open an account with the broker. Our broker is in Toronto. And you would open an account with the investment dealer. And once the account is opened, you could transfer funds from your existing RSP, or if you wanted to contribute new money to your RSP, you can do that in your new account. Once the account is opened, a transfer form gets sent out to your current holder of your RSP, and the transaction takes place. Once the funds are received, they would be received in Laurentian Bank. They are the custodial bank for the RSP program. And once your funds are received, we make the purchase of your gold and silver, and the physical coins are actually stored in Brinks Canada at their main office in Toronto. And once you have those coins in place, you can sell them at any time that you please. You cannot take delivery on the coins because they are still in a registered account. And if you wanted to take the coins home with you, you would have to sell the coins on the market. You would receive the funds for the coins. Then you would have to cash out your RSP, pay your taxes, and once you receive the actual cash, you can give me a call directly, and I can get you the physical coins that you can take home with you. So that's how that program works. It's a great way for people to preserve their wealth, to protect your purchasing power. Gold has, over the past 11 years, we've just received some information from a client. Let me see if I can find it here. Here we go. Basically, it's the average return of gold since 2001. So for the past 10 years in various different currencies. We have in the U.S. dollar, the average return is 17.7%. The Australian dollar is 11.6. The Canadian dollar is 13.7. The euro is 14.5. The Japanese yen is 13.9. The Swiss franc, 12.1. And the British pound, 17.7. So you see gold over the past 10 years has on average outperformed practically every other asset class in the industry, even in various different currencies around the world. Silver, same situation. In the U.S. dollar, we have an average over the past 10 years of 21.2, Australian dollar 13.4, Canadian dollar 16, the euro 18.4, Japanese yen 17.8, British pound 20.2. So silver has by far outperformed any other asset class as well. So this trend is said to continue. We have the U.S. government and the Federal Reserve will continue to print money. There are some new news articles out recently that one of the prominent hedge fund managers in the United States, Kyle Bass, was discussing the issue with people at in Parliament Hill or in Capitol Hill in the United States, and they basically they basically said that they're going to do whatever it takes to keep the economy going, even if it means destroying the dollar. So this is nothing new throughout history. The U.S. dollar has changed a number of times. As we all know, from after 1971, the U.S. dollar was taken off of gold backing. So that essentially changes the fundamentals and the characteristic of the dollar. We also have, everybody remembers the greenback from the Civil War. We have a new euro currency that didn't exist in the past. So we have, currencies throughout history are always changing. And, this is nothing new. If it happens, this is why you want to hold gold. Gold is a medium of exchange, or a currency, if you will, that cannot just be printed by governments. It has to be mined. It has to be forged. It has to be minted, refined, and stamped. So it's a way that you can protect yourself from the continuous efforts of central banks to print money, and it's a way for you to protect your purchasing power, because really you don't invest in gold to profit. In theory, you invest in gold as insurance, and that insurance is that it protects your standard of living. So essentially what you're doing by investing in gold is you're sending out the message. You're saying that you don't have confidence in what the financial system or the condition of the economy is, and you just want to move your assets into physical gold bullion to protect your standard of living. For example, the price of gasoline, the price of your energy bill, the price of food have all been going up, and what you want to do is have gold as an asset that pretty much just locks in your cost of living. I'm just going to see if I can get in touch with Mr. Bob Chapman here. One second, if you could just hold. Mr. Chapman, as some of you know, is... as he says, he's living out in the jungle, so I don't know what happened, but it may be technical difficulties or something else. Regardless, we're going to move on here. Let's see. We have also in the Financial Post this week, famous newsletter writer Dennis Gartman reverses his bearish view on gold. Dennis Gartman is on CNBC on a regular basis making predictions on gold, and he's been wrong most of the time, apparently, and he's changing his view now. I guess he thought gold was going to go down a lot further, but it hasn't. It has recovered. And this is what we're seeing, what we've been seeing for the past 10 years. There's always a correction. Gold recovers, and fundamentally nothing has really changed in the past few years that gold has been rising. It's based on the fundamentals that governments are continually creating bailout packages, stimulus packages, bailing out Europe, for example. Our central banks and the U.S., the Federal Reserve, just recently bailed out Europe to the tune of billions of dollars, and now they're going to help their economy out. I don't know why they just didn't let them take care of it themselves, and because, as I said earlier, we got Windsor, the unemployment rate is still, we're the worst in the country, It would have been nice if they could have bailed out Windsor. But that's not the case, and so the central banks are going to continue to expand money and credit, and physical assets like gold and silver are going to continue to rise. What else do we have here? A Reuters article, KPMG plans to return money to MF Global clients to the tune of $1.2 billion. So that's some, I guess, good news for MF Global clients. How they're going to handle that, I don't know. But that's one of the things we can discuss with Bob Chapman when he gets on the line here. Again, a little bit about our company. Central Metals Corp is a Canadian-based company. We are a private corporation. We provide gold and silver investment-grade bullion products to our clients, anything from the Canadian maple leaf to African cougar ants. We also carry bullion bars, gold and silver, one-ounce bars in gold. We have 10-ounce bars in gold, 1 kilo bars, and we can also get 100-ounce bars if you like. Silver, we have 1-ounce silver rounds or ingots or wafers, some people call them. We have 10-ounce silver bars from NTR. We have 100-ounce bars. And we also have 1,000-ounce silver bars as well. Those are a little bit cumbersome to store, but we do have some clients that get those. And let me see here. I think we might have Bob Chapman on the line. Hello, Bob. Are you there?
I am here. Excuse me for being late. I forgot. I was on the computer, as usual, and I apologize.
That's no problem. I kept it going, some articles. We had a couple questions, and I did my best, but mostly we were just talking about services that we offer here at Central Metals and some of the news articles that came out today. Apparently Windsor's unemployment rate decreased, but we're still the worst in Canada at 10.5%. And there's a kind of a sarcastic picture in the newspaper. They have the Welcome to Windsor sign that once you get into Windsor on the highway, and it says Unemployment Capital of Canada. Somebody got a sticker and put Unemployment Capital of Canada on there. So anyways, yes, one of the questions we had from a listener was, what do you think about investing in agricultural property in Canada?
I'd call. If you're a farmer and by profession, and it's propitious for you to do so, you do it. Otherwise, that's speculative. It's not easy to move. You may have liquidity problems and not be able to sell it when you'd like to. But if you're a farmer and you want to add to your inventory of growing area, then it might be a very good idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another, one of the articles that came out this week that caught my eye, I guess, in a Reuters article, KPMG plans to return money from MF Global crisis to the tune of $1.2
billion. Who is TPMG?
KPMG, the accounting firm, I guess.
Oh, KPMG.
Yeah,
the accounting firm. Well, that's good, but if you remember, listeners, I was the only one who said everybody would get their money back.
Mm-hmm.
And
you said
everybody
on this program
else said,
a couple weeks ago.
That's right. I said it about a month and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
The system's got too much to lose. Look at the logic of it. here we are, we're stockbrokers, commodity brokers, and we're just raping and pillaging the public of the world. And here we stand in this position where one of our own may have done something wrong. We don't know. He hasn't had his day in court yet.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that in the agreements for margin, and all the accounts at MF were margin accounts, and I don't know that because I looked. I know that because they have to be.
Mm-hmm.
When you sign that margin agreement, you allow hypothecation and rehypothecation of your account, whether you like it or not. So we had people running around ranting and raving, my money's been stolen. I've been doing this for years, and look at these people are crooks. And well, you should have read the contract.
Right.
So these guys in the commodity and stock business are not going to lose their opportunity to rape and pillage the public over one paltry $1.2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, in the big firms, that's chump change. So you just back into it and say, look, these guys got to come up with the money. They have to neutralize all of that bad publicity. And whether Mr. Corzine, or any of the other people, or people at Goldman or Morgan were involved in this, whether he did anything wrong, I don't know. And neither does anybody else unless they're on the inside working for one of those companies or maybe one of the attorneys in the bankruptcy. So everybody's going to be made whole, just as I said.
Mm-hmm.
And they never snatched any cash accounts because there weren't any. And they wouldn't think of doing so because that's a felony.
Right.
So there you have it. All this falderall, all these meatheads, two of which have had brokerage licenses, so they understand the game. About 8 or 10 of which never were in the brokerage business, so they don't know the game. And they ought to keep their mouths shut. I get sick and tired of reading all of this misinformation and sensationalized crap.
Yep.
Over and over and over again. And Bosco and I have discussed it. We knew from the very beginning that it couldn't have been the other way.
Yeah, no, I think any commodities broker that's been in the business should have knew that right away. That, I mean, it's like we reread the contract here, and it's, I mean, all the information is in there. So it's just the problem is that, you know, like you mentioned, all these people putting out this false information, I probably get a client in here once a week that is just, you know, kind of confused about what's going on because he's reading so much information and oh, this guy said this guy said that. And I try to tell people, just listen to Bob, follow the forecaster, and that's all you need to know. I mean, anything else, any other links or anything that Bob doesn't cover, he provides a link in there. And it's just too much. People spend too much time, you know, searching the internet and trying to figure things out and following different people. And everyone's got a different opinion, people changing their opinions. We have Dennis Gartman recently, I guess, in Financial Post, they said he reversed his bearish view on gold all of a sudden. You know, I mean, what do you make of that? You can't. You stick to one thing, and either you're right or you're wrong. But people get confused. The internet is great source for information, but sometimes it's too much information, and people just get overloaded, and it just gets confusing. So,
on gold and silver, Gartman's almost never been right.
Yeah,
he's the antithesis of the market of gold and silver, and it's shameful. The way they put him up in lights on CNBC, et cetera. I mean, this guy's got a deplorable track record. And I could name many others, but I'll just leave it at that today. One of the reasons I'm not very popular in this industry, I call a spade a spade. And if anybody's doing something they shouldn't have been doing or have been doing for the last 40 years, I'll tell you about them. I know where everything's hidden. And that's why they hate me. And it's going to continue to go on from that point of view as long as I can write, because I get sick and tired of the sensationalization in order for people to sell their services or their newsletter or their DVD. Most don't know they're from a hole in the ground.
Yep.
Believe me, they've never been trained in these arts. You have, I have, but most of them have not. And you may as well go to the garbage collector to get the ideas, because that's just what you're getting from them.
Yep. No, it's you have to look at things sensibly. And I tell my clients all the time, you have to understand the motive of people. You know, as a salesman, you have to understand what the motive is behind what they're selling. You know, you got all kinds of subscriptions and so on the internet, you know, we'll provide you with this report if you subscribe to such and such a letter. Or it's like they try and hook you in where, I mean, you know, and then you find out later that the report was available for free on the internet. You just have to Google it and you can find it. I had that with some report that a newsletter subscription was trying to sell for Ron Paul's old report on gold from, I guess it was written in the 1970s or something, gold Bible of some kind. And an essay by Ron Paul that discusses gold. And so, I mean, people try to hook you in on these different things. But we do have a listener's question in.
I'm ready.
Okay, we have a listener from Windsor, Dan.
Ask him first, does he have a job?
If this is the Dan that I know, no, but he is a talented fellow. He's.
I was just making a joke.
Yeah, no, I know. Windsor's unemployment, yeah. Okay, here we go. With Persian Gulf tensions rising, U.S. troops Israel bound for a dual U.S.-Israel-Persian Gulf maneuvers, and the possibilities of an armed conflict with Iran on the horizon, it's clear that this may be bullish for oil. Should an actual conflict break out and Iran closes the Strait of Hormuz, even if for a short time, how do you see metal prices reacting?
Gee, I thought he was going to ask something else. Metal prices should go straight up. It all depends on how much our government wants to intervene in the market. I thought he was going to ask about the oil stocks. And what will happen if that happens is that the stock market will go down. When the market goes down, oil and gas stocks go down. When the market goes up, oil and gas stocks go up. So they go with the market. So you wouldn't have any advantage. I just gave you a little extra there. But, you know, in the olden days before, that was before 1988, when it was a felony for the United States government or any part of it to manipulate a market, that kind of event sent gold up $100, $200, $300 at these prices. Mm-hmm. So that's what it used to be like. So if you want to see manipulation of markets end, it's real simple. Elect Ron Paul. He owns lots of gold and silver shares and coins, like many, many of our listeners. And the first thing he's going to do is do away with the executive order that allows the United States government to manipulate all markets of the world 24/7. In fact, I even saw a woman from Hong Kong, an analyst, this past week, and that I think is... the tape, the link, I think is in Wednesday's issue. If not, it's in tomorrow's issue. And she's talking to him, you know, about investing and all this sort of stuff. Very quick-witted, very smart lady. Mm-hmm. And she says, but, you know, we use the fundamentals, And sometimes they don't work because we see the slew of money come into the market and things that shouldn't go up do and so on and so forth. And there's manipulation going on. Now, she may have not known who was doing it. Could have been the Chinese government, but more likely it was the U.S. government. And here she's complaining about that. And so she knows something wrong. She may not know what it is. Or maybe she was afraid to say what it is. So I just thought I'd bring that to your attention.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm all for Ron Paul. We're in Canada here, so we have we can't vote over there. But
well, everybody
like
in the
Paul.
World will benefit
yeah.
by that
oh,
decision.
Yeah.
Especially yeah. Canada, with all the mines. The best mines in the world are in Canada. Best mine management, best geologists, best engineers in mining.
Right.
In fact, you know, back 100 years ago, when they started really deep drilling in South Africa, all the engineers and geologists were all Canadians.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess it's that's our nature here, I guess. We're with all the natural resources here, it kind of comes with the territory. We have recently I was reading an article actually about Ron Paul's investment portfolio, and they said that they were, I guess, I don't know who, Congress or whoever looks at it, they said they were surprised at how he was not balanced or diversified. He was pretty much all in gold and silver mining companies.
Well, they'd notice something like that because most all of them are unbalanced.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another piece I have here, silver sales up as supply slips. For the first time in history, Silver Eagle and Maple Leaf sales will surpass domestic silver production in the U.S. and Canada in 2011. So what is your take on silver for 2012, Bob?
Well, I knew that a long time ago, but the answer is yes, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And silver and gold in their own way are going to do terrific. And putting pressure and restraint, manipulation on markets is not going to work. I mean, you know, they started this when gold was $262 an ounce. And it's been as high as 1923. And that encompassed 22 years, and the market really didn't start to get moving until 2000. So what they've done has not been all that effective. Now, they have kept these prices from going to where they should be, which is considerably higher. But that's okay. We have patience. Don't forget, it's a hedge.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place where you go for safety. You happen to make a lot of money, and that's okay. But that's not the intention. You want safety. When currencies fall, gold and silver usually rise. If not, they may stay the same, even if they went off 20 or 30%. Who would care? 20 or 30%. Who would care when everybody else was losing 90% like they did mm-hmm. in 1933?
Yep. Bob, what do you think during the, you know, during a hyperinflationary environment in the U.S., wouldn't the, I mean, just because the dollar is being devalued, okay, wouldn't the stock market theoretically go up in price as well? Or
it could. It could. It did in Zimbabwe. It all depends on what happens. But, you know, you stand that terrible risk of once the correction starts. I mean, you know, 1929 was awful because mm-hmm. of 10% margin. You know, you could borrow 90%. And 30 was bad. There was a rally on 31. And then it got terrible again. So, you know, if you're a trader, that's fine. I don't encourage trading because people who go into the market are not professionals. They want an investment. They want to make 20 or 30% on it and in normal times. And so you stand in there and you trade if you like. But I don't encourage it. So you go in for long term. And when you reach your goal, in this case with gold and silver, that goal will be when the markets of the world and the currencies and the economies of the world are flat on their whatchamacallit, that's when you say, well, maybe I should buy that block of buildings in downtown San Francisco or something. Mm-hmm. And start to diversify because, you know, you could invest $1 million and end up with $80 million for all you know. And what are you going to do with all that money? So you start rolling it into other kinds of investments.
Right. So basically you'll be just transferring your wealth into a different asset that's going to maybe produce an income, a real estate property or something. I posted a chart on my website this week. I found a chart of the price of gold during the hyperinflationary period in Germany. Just wanted to kind of show people that are saying that, you know, I have a number of clients that come in and they say, you know, how can gold this? They hold a gold maple in their hand. How can this 1 ounce gold maple be worth, you know, $5,000 or $10,000? It doesn't make sense. And when you look at the price of gold during the hyperinflation in Germany, I mean, it went up to billions of dollars for 1 ounce of gold. So, and try to explain to people, it's not about the gold. It's about the currency that you measure it in. And, you know, Germany, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the German mark back then one of the strongest currencies or economies in the world?
No, during 2021, 2022, and 2023, as part of the Treaty of Versailles, Germany had to pay reparations for all the damage they caused during the war. And the reparations were outrageous. And so they kept on printing money to pay the reparations to France and Belgium and so on. And they got to the point where they had this giant inflationary period. It's classic. And so the years of 1924, 5, 6, 7, 8, and into the 1930s, Germany, their economy did not recover. And rightly so under the circumstances. It just kind of dragged along. In fact, there were so many people out of work that they were standing private armies of 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 men. Armies. You say, well, how can they have that? Well, they did. And Hitler's brown shirts was a good example of that. And anyway, the German economy didn't change until Adolf Hitler took power and with financing from large German manufacturing companies and Americans like the Bush family and Harriman and there's a whole line of them that helped the Nazis finance what they did before and after Hitler took over. Reflecting back, all of those people during the 20s that took their Reichsmarks and they traded them, say, in 1920 for gold coins, they were in a pretty good position. And the ones that didn't have to use them all during the late 1930s, if they held them that long, it probably saved their life because they could buy somebody off and get out of the country if Adolf Hitler didn't like them, no matter who they were. And so there's a lot to be said for gold coins, let me tell you.
Right. And this is one of the topics, and I know that you discussed it a number of times, is the risk of confiscation. And I try to tell people that that the system was much different back in 1933. The dollar was backed by gold, so they needed the gold. What can you say about that risk? Is it completely that there's no risk of confiscation, or is there a very small chance?
Government can do anything it wants. It can take your coins, your guns, your wife, your children, your home. They can move you from one place to another. They can conscript you into armies in wars, which they're going to make money on. And it goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer to the question is, will they do it? Nobody knows. Can they do it? They can do anything they want.
Right.
How can you avoid it? Well, putting it in a vault at Brinks is a pretty good idea in another country. Yeah, you can dig a hole and put them in the backyard. There's all kinds of things you can do with them.
Yep.
And I'm a great advocate of having gold and silver coins and bullion, particularly coins, because if you have access to them and bad stuff happens and you can't buy things, well, if you get gold coins, you can buy them. Everybody will know what, knows what they look like, believe me.
Right, right. So it's a good idea to be diversified, have some physical coins at home with you, somewhere safe, and then you can have maybe just for cost efficiency, have a little bit of bullion because the premium is much lower. Right now, for example, on a 1 ounce gold maple leaf, the premium is 4%. And on gold bullion bars, we're selling them for $27 over the spot price. So it's, I think it works out to 2.5% or something like that. Good to have a combination of the metals. And, you know, I guess maybe what kind of ratio, 50-50 gold and silver, Bob?
Yeah, that's what I do, and I'll tell you why I do it. There's a strong possibility that silver will outperform gold, but I don't know that. I've only been doing this for 53 years, and I know how easy it is to be wrong. So with that said, split it, and you don't have any headaches. If one goes up more than the others, you know, you say, yeah, that's kismet. It's fate. And so what? You know, you do what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like these nincompoops are running around saying, and particularly coin dealers, saying, oh, they're going to confiscate people's stocks and all this sort of crap.
Yeah.
None of them ever been in the stock business. Most of them didn't even get out of high school. And they're attacking something that's an institution. And I know a lot of these people. And they don't tell you about the outrageous premiums that they charge when they can get away with them in the United States. It's incredible. Marking coins up 30, 40, 50, 60% that should really be marked up 5%.
Right.
They're crooks. And there's lots of them out there. That's why I'm careful who I send people to. I send them to people who I've never had a complaint about. And that makes it better because they don't fall into the clutches of these other coin dealers who tell you that your stocks are going to get confiscated, which is entirely untrue. We had a conversation here early in the program about MF Global. Mm-hmm. I was the only newsletter writer, commentator, that came out and said, no, that's not the way it's going to be. Everybody's going to get their money back. And through Bosco, we just found out that everybody's going to get their money back. Now, why did everybody else miss this? Because they don't know what they're doing. That's why. And some of them are sensationalizers so they can sell their wares to the public.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't see how. I mean, just I don't know, common sense. You look at, you know, the, you know, people thinking that the stock market is gonna it might go down and crash, but it's not gonna cease to function. I mean, for the market, if that's the case, if the stock market were to cease to function or exist, what's the use of even having a paper certificate? What are you going to do with it? You know, you can't trade it anywhere. You know, this is why you want to have the physical gold as part of your portfolio. I mean, I don't know, Bob, what do you think? Is it, you know, if people are telling you to take your stock certificate, I mean, based on the notion that the stock market isn't going to function and you can't clear that certificate, what are you going to do with that piece of paper anyway?
Go back to the mining company.
Oh,
and they'll
can?
Start paying dividends if the price of gold and silver, in this case, are high and they're making money.
Okay.
That's what you do. But one of the problems you've got with taking certificates, 98% of brokers will not supply them anymore.
Right.
Second of all, it's about $250 to take delivery of a certificate with all of the fees. When you sell, it's the same thing. It's another $250 per certificate. Then on top of that, you have to get it notarized.
Yep.
So whatever that costs, maybe nothing. And so you're in for $500 a certificate. So let's say you own 10 stocks, which is reasonable. You're in for $5,000. That's ridiculous. Why would anybody want to do that in their right mind? Well, we got one ex-broker out there who keeps on telling people to do this. He's been telling them for the last 14 years.
Yeah.
Well, nothing's happened. Nobody's run off with their certificates in that 14-year period. So how does he justify what he's recommending? And I might say that 2.5 years ago, in the public company that he's the president of, when the stock ran up to $8, he sold all his stock on.
Right.
He forgot to tell his readers that he sold out. I have the story, incidentally, and it comes from a publication called Barron's. Anybody that wants it, I'll send you the link and you can read it yourself. I didn't write it up. Barron's did.
Right, right.
Same guy. Holier than thou.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had a client this week actually sent me an email, and he asked his broker in Canada for that, and apparently it's not very expensive here to get it done, but I don't know. I really don't...
Look, you do what fits for you. If you want to go do it, go do it. You know, what you got to remember, that Bosco and I have no interest in what you're doing. We're telling you what we think. And you go out and do what you want. It's your money.
Yep.
And if you win, that's terrific. If you lose, that's tough.
Yep.
That's just the way life is.
Yep. Well, I don't know. Nobody, I guess, who knows what's going to happen. I know that I don't see any other reason why gold should not go much higher. We've experienced corrections like the one we just had numerous times in the past 10 years. You know, there's charts now floating around the internet of all the corrections. The correction in 2008 was nearly 30%. And what happened after that, we bounced right back, and we went up to over 1,900, and we had another little correction here. And, I mean, I tell people here, when the employment rate in Windsor is back up to, you know, less than 2%, then maybe it's time to get out of your gold. But until that day comes, and they turn the lights back on the GM transmission plant in Windsor that was there for 90 years, and now that plant, you know what they're doing there, Bob? They have the paintball tournaments or whatever, they, you know, the paintball guns, they play games.
Yes.
They play that in the old GM transmission plant. What
and where did all the jobs go?
I don't know.
Well, that's the benefits of free trade and globalization.
Overseas, so now
horrible.
We have it's an entertainment complex. Now we have grown men acting like kids, going to shoot each other with paintballs in the old factory now. So it's a sad sight, but it's true. Anyway, we passed our halfway mark. We're nearly the end here. Bob, do you want to take a minute to tell people about the International Forecaster and how they can get a copy?
Well, the first thing you can do is get a hold of Bosco, because he can send you a copy. That's the email copy. Bosco wants, he can just email us and the information, and we'll send it out for him. But the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish on Wednesdays and Saturdays, runs around 35 or 40 pages each time. We have a hard copy that goes out twice a month to those who are not on the Internet. And everything you need to know each week is in that publication. We have a way for you to get a copy if you'd like. You go to, on the Internet, theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. You can also go to www.INTFORECASTER.com, intforecaster.com. For those of you who would like to ask a question, and we answer everyone, get the reports, or if you'd like a copy of our latest report on gold and silver shares, all you have to do is email us, and that address is Bob, B-O-B, at INTFORECASTER.com. Bob at INTForecaster.com. Those who want to call toll-free, that number is 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178. You can get information there. But for you Canadians, the best place to go is the Bosco.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. We got about 6 minutes left or so. What's the latest news on this big problem in Iran? Did the U.S. Put more sanctions on them, or?
Well, the first thing they did is they told them they couldn't sell oil to anybody. A sanction is an act of war.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went and they said to all of the European bankers, you can't do business with them anymore. And so they're not. They've frozen their funds.
Hmm.
Now, the Chinese and Russians and perhaps others will cooperate with Iran and allow them to go around those sanctions. And I don't think anything on the short term is going to come of it. I think I've written a piece, it's not long, for the editorial for tomorrow. And it explains all the other complex issues involved here. I mean, you can go back 100 years and the relations between the Syrians and the Iranians and the Syrians and Israel, which is very good relations, incidentally. And then the relations with Lebanon and Jordan and this is a very compound, complex problem. And if somebody wants to go in and make a parking lot out of Iran, well, there's virtually nobody to stop them. On the other hand, if the United States and NATO decide to do that, will Russia and China retaliate? I don't know. But it's possible. Maybe a possibility. Now, Iran certainly can't beat off the forces of the United States, Israel, in Europe. I mean, it's such a lopsided affair. It reminds me when we went in and bombed Grenada I couldn't believe that. I just couldn't believe it. But anyway, we did. And that's because they were assisting Mr. Castro in Cuba, for those of you who don't remember. But the point is this. There's going to be widespread damage in the Middle East, not only to Iran, but particularly Israel and Saudi Arabia. And do they want to go for that? I don't know. I think it probably might happen sooner or later, but I think it's a distraction. I think they're doing these things so people be looking over there. Oh, that's horrible. It looks like they might strike the Strait of Hormuz. And what might happen is my gasoline, that's $3 a gallon or $3.40 or whatever it is in the United States, it might go to $8 or $10. That's all they worry about. They don't care about the millions of people being, made into crispy critters. And so I don't know that it's as imminent as people think it is. It's just like everybody's saying in the alternative news community that the economy in Europe and in England and in the U.S. are going to be lousy this year. I get news for you. They're not going to be good, but they're going to go sideways and it's going to be better than they think, simply because of all the money that's been created and lent, swapped, mm-hmm. by the Federal Reserve with the European Central Bank. It's going to slosh over into the other two economies.
Right.
So, you got to have foresight. You got to understand economics. You have to understand, one and one still makes two, not three.
Yeah, and this is the kind of information, people, if you have a retirement portfolio and I know that I had a client in here the other day who was telling me that, you have financial planners out there that are just out of high school. They're smart enough to pass the mutual funds exam and then they're going around managing people's money and they have no experience or other type of skills. And, it's this kind of information that people, you need to understand politics as well. How it's going to affect your funds and your currency and your standard of living. And these are all the benefits of reading the International Forecaster. There's a lot of information in there that people can benefit from. I know I have over the years. It's been an education in itself for me. Having the actual hands-on experience of being a broker and working with other brokers in the industry, it gives you a certain understanding of how things work. And Bob, all the exams that I've written for the financial industry, it's funny, not one of the four that I read ever explain how the Federal Reserve works or how it functions or where money comes from. And this is one of the most important things because you read all the statistics and their formulas and all that, and all those formulas really are discounted because when the value of your money can just be created out of thin air, the formula really means nothing. So it's this is another reason why gold is so important and why people need to understand it more. It's more of an educational process, I guess, trying to figure everything out. With that said, we have retirement season here in Canada now up until the end of February. People can still move their retirement funds around for last year. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, we do have gold and silver maple leaf coins available for RRSPs and tax-free savings accounts. So if you want information on that, just give us a call and we can take care of that for you. Other than that, I guess we'll see you next Friday for lunchtime. And again, Bob, thank you very much for joining us today, and hope you have a great day.
Well, thank you, and thank you all for listening, and I apologize again for being late, but I get carried away with my work, and all of a sudden I'm late, so it doesn't happen very often. So hang in there, and have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
No problem. Thanks, Bob. We know you're out in the jungle there, so sometimes, you know, things get
rough.
So. All right.
The monkeys are cold, believe me.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Bob. Have a good day.
Okay, bye.
Bye.